A Werewolf Romance, written by Lillian Gerard. Prologue. The Sound of Silver. They say I'm wolfless. That's the word they use when they think I can't hear them through the stone walls. They say wolfless. Like I'm missing a limb. Like I'm incomplete. Like I'm broken in a way that can never be fixed. The moon remembers everything. Every prayer whispered in darkness. Every tear shed under her light. Every soul she's chosen to carry her blessing and her curse. The moon remembers me. My name is Serafina. Sarah, to the few who ever bothered to use it. And for 21 years, I've watched the full moon rise from behind iron bars, while every other wolf in Nightvale Pack ran free beneath her light. 21 years of being locked in this tower. 21 years of being told I was broken, defective, wolfless. 21 years of believing them. But the moon? She never forgot what I was. What I was always meant to be. And tonight, my 21st birthday, under an eclipse that comes once in a lifetime, she's finally going to remind everyone else. This is the story of how a girl they called Wolfless became the Moon-Touched, the rarest, most powerful wolf born in a century. This is the story of how a prisoner became a queen. This is the story of how I learned that being locked away doesn't make you powerless. It just gives you time to become something they can never cage again. Chapter 1. The Ritual of Shame. The iron door groaned open at sunset, like it did every month when the full moon rose. I was already in the corner of my tower room, the only room I'd known for as long as I could remember, with my knees drawn to my chest and my eyes fixed on the stone floor. Not because I was afraid. Fear had died somewhere around year 5 of this ritual. I was waiting, because that's what you do when you're powerless. You wait. You endure. You survive. Up! Stepmother Marcella commanded, her voice cold as the mountain wind that howled through the gaps in the stones. Let's get this over with. I stood slowly, my muscles protesting. 21 years in a tower didn't leave much room for exercise, though I did what I could. Push-ups against the wall. Stretches on the narrow strip of floor between my cot and the window. Small rebellions against the body that wanted to atrophy. Marcella stood in the doorway, backlit by torches from the stairwell. She was beautiful in the way that venomous things are beautiful. All sharp edges and calculated grace. Her dark hair was pulled back severely, emphasizing the angles of her face. Her eyes, pale green like frozen moss, assessed me with the same disgust they always carried. You look thinner, she observed, though there was no concern in her voice. Good. Less of you to hide. I said nothing. Speaking during the ritual only made it worse. She stepped aside, gesturing for me to precede her down the narrow spiral stairs. I moved past her carefully, keeping my eyes down, my shoulders hunched. 21 years had taught me to make myself small, invisible, insignificant. It was the only way to survive her. The descent from the tower took 5 minutes. 143 steps. I'd counted them so many times I could do it in my sleep. Stone walls pressed close on both sides, the air growing warmer and thicker with smoke and bodies as we neared the main hall. I could hear them already. The pack, gathering for the full moon run. My stomach twisted into familiar knots. Remember, Marcella said behind me, her voice soft but edged with threat. You will stand where I place you. You will not speak unless spoken to. You will not meet anyone's eyes. And when the shift begins, you will watch silently while your betters embrace what the moon goddess saw fit to deny you. Yes, stepmother, I whispered. Louder. I want to hear your shame. Yes, stepmother, I said, hating how steady I had to keep my voice. Good girl. We emerged into the grand hall of Nightvale Manor, and I felt every eye turn toward us. Toward me. The pack had assembled, nearly 200 wolves in human form, all dressed in the simple, practical clothing they'd shed once the shift took them. Children ran between the adults, their excitement palpable. Young wolves who'd recently experienced their first shifts compared notes, their voices bright with pride. And then there was me, the wolfless one. The shame of the Alpha's bloodline. The defective daughter locked away so others wouldn't have to see the evidence of the moon goddess's rejection. Marcella guided me to my usual place, a small raised platform at the far edge of the hall, elevated just enough that everyone could see me, but separated enough that I was clearly not part of the pack. A display, a warning, a reminder of what happened when you were born wrong. Stand here, Marcella commanded. Hands at your sides, head down. You know the drill. I took my position, my fingers curling into fists at my sides where no one could see. Alpha Cedric, my father, though he'd stopped acknowledging that relationship years ago, stood at the center of the hall on the true Alpha's platform. He was a large man, powerful even in his 50s, his gray hair still thick and his wolf still strong. He'd been a good father once, I thought, before Mother died. Before Marcella convinced him I was the reason for her death. Before he decided it was easier to lock me away than to love me. Beside him stood my half-sister, Vivienne. Marcella's daughter from her first mating, and everything I wasn't. Beautiful where I was plain. Confident where I was broken. Blessed with a powerful wolf where I was cursed with nothing. She caught my eye and smiled. Not kindly. Look at her, Vivienne's voice carried across the hall, pitched just loud enough for those nearby to hear, but soft enough to maintain plausible deniability. Poor Sarah. Another full moon. Another reminder that she's barely worth the space she takes up. Laughter rippled through the younger wolves around her. I kept my eyes down. Kept my breathing steady. Kept my face blank. Enough. Alpha Cedric's voice cut through the chatter. We have a ritual to complete. The moon rises in 1 hour. Those who are shifting for the first time, step forward. 5 young wolves moved to the center, all around age 13, the typical age for first shifts. Their parents watched with pride. The pack watched with anticipation. No one watched me. I was furniture. Background. The cautionary tale they'd already learned. Tonight, you become true members of Nightvale Pack, Cedric continued. You will run with us under the full moon. You will hunt. You will howl. You will know the joy of your wolf form and the strength of your pack bonds. This is your birthright. This is your blessing. The young wolves beamed. And something inside me, something I usually kept locked down as thoroughly as my body was locked in the tower, twisted with bitter longing. I'd never had that, would never have it, because I was wolfless, or so everyone believed. The ceremony continued with traditional words and ritual movements I'd memorized from years of watching, but something felt different tonight. Wrong. Or maybe right in a way I didn't understand. My skin prickled with an energy I couldn't name. The air felt thicker, heavier, charged with something that made my pulse quicken and my breath come shorter. And when I glanced out the high windows at the darkening sky, I saw it. The moon was rising, but not the normal full moon I'd seen every month for 21 years. This moon was different, darker. Ringed with shadow, as if something was slowly consuming its light. An eclipse. The word whispered through my mind like a half-remembered dream. or a prophecy I'd heard once and forgotten. When the moon goes dark, she wakes. I shook my head, trying to clear the strange thought. I didn't know where it had come from. Probably some story I'd overheard years ago, twisted by too much solitude into something that felt meaningful. But the prickling on my skin grew stronger, and deep inside my chest something stirred. Something that had been sleeping for a very, very long time. Chapter 2. The First Crack. The shift began at moonrise. It always started with the alpha. My father closed his eyes, tipped his head back, and let his wolf rise. The transformation was smooth, practiced, beautiful in its violence. Bones realigned, fur erupted. In seconds where a man had stood, a massive gray wolf remained. He howled, and the pack answered. One by one, they shifted. The experienced wolves moved quickly, their transformations almost seamless. The first shifters struggled more, their faces twisted in pain and wonder as their wolves finally broke free. I watched from my platform, my nails digging crescents into my palms. This was always the worst part. Watching them become what I never could. Watching them join the pack bonds I'd never feel. Watching them run while I remained caged. The hall filled with wolves now. Gray and brown and black and red. Large and small. All of them beautiful. All of them blessed. All of them everything I wasn't. Marcella shifted near the front. A sleek, dark wolf with Vivian's pale green eyes. Vivian herself was a stunning silver-gray wolf, her fur glossy and perfect. They looked at me from across the hall. Even in wolf form, I could read the satisfaction in their gaze. "Look at what you'll never have," their eyes seemed to say. "Look at what makes you worthless." The wolves began to move toward the doors, eager to run, to hunt, to feel the moon on their fur and the earth under their paws. I would return to my tower, to my single window, to watching them run from afar while the moonlight that blessed them only illuminated my cage. The familiar hollowness opened in my chest, and then pain, sudden, shocking. Absolute pain that radiated from somewhere deep in my core and exploded outward like lightning in my veins. I gasped, my knees buckling. No one noticed. They were all moving toward the doors, their attention on the hunt ahead. The pain intensified. Not in my bones, like I'd always imagined shifting would feel. Deeper than that. In my blood. In my very soul. Something was breaking open inside me. Something that had been locked away even more thoroughly than my body in this tower. I pressed a hand to my chest, trying to breathe through the pain, trying not to make a sound that would draw attention. The eclipse was nearly complete now. The moon's light had gone from silver to a deep, ethereal, silver blue. Shadows danced across the walls in patterns that seemed almost intentional, almost alive. And in my chest, behind my ribs, in the space where everyone said there was nothing, something howled, not out loud, inside. A sound only I could hear, a voice I'd never heard before, but somehow recognized like I'd known it my entire life. "Sister," it said, "I've been waiting so long. Wake up, please. It's time to wake up." "I'm not asleep," I whispered to the empty hall. The pack had left. I was alone with the shadows and the strange moon and the impossible voice in my head. "You've been asleep for 21 years, the voice insisted. "She made you sleep, made us both sleep. But the eclipse is breaking her spell. Can you feel it? We're waking up." "I don't have a wolf," I said, my voice cracking. "I'm wolfless. Everyone knows. I've never shifted. I can't shift. I'm lied to, the voice finished, its tone shifting from wonder to a deep, ancient rage. We're not wolfless. We're moon-touched. And tonight, under the eclipse, we rise. The pain redoubled. I fell to my knees on the platform, my hands pressed flat against the stone, my whole body shaking. Stop, I gasped. Please, whatever this is, stop. I can't stop, the voice said, and now I could hear grief in it. Rage. Years and years of suppressed fury. She used dark magic to build a wall between us, my wolf explained, the words echoing in the silent hall. A barrier in our own mind, so you couldn't feel me, and I couldn't reach you. She caged us inside our own skin, made you believe you were nothing. But you're not nothing, Sarah. You're everything, and I'm going to prove it. My vision blurred. The shadows on the walls began to move differently, reaching toward me like they were trying to touch me, to comfort me, to welcome me. The moonlight streaming through the windows changed from silver blue to pure silver, so bright it hurt to look at. And inside my chest I felt it, a presence, massive and ancient and powerful beyond anything I'd ever imagined. My wolf. She'd been there all along, sleeping, suppressed, caged even more thoroughly than my body. But the eclipse was breaking whatever magic had held her, and she was waking up angry. Not here, I managed to say through gritted teeth. Please, not here. If anyone sees, they'll know the truth, my wolf finished. They'll know what Marcella did, what she took from us. Is that so bad? They'll kill us, I said. Marcella will kill us. She's the Alpha's mate. She has power. If she finds out we're stronger than her? My wolf's voice was grim. Let her try. But I was raised by fear and captivity, by 21 years of learning that survival meant silence, meant submission, meant never, ever standing out. Please, I begged. Not yet. I'm not ready. I don't know what to do. My wolf was quiet for a moment. Then, okay, for now, we wait. But Sarah? We can't wait much longer. The eclipse is waking us up. And once we're fully awake, nothing will cage us again. Not Marcella. Not these walls. Nothing. The pain began to recede, slowly, reluctantly. The shadows on the walls stilled. The moonlight returned to its normal silver. I was left kneeling on the platform, shaking and sweating, and fundamentally changed. Because I knew now. I wasn't wolfless. I'd never been wolfless. I'd been cursed, suppressed, locked away inside myself the same way my body had been locked in the tower. But the curse was breaking. And when it broke completely, everything would change. I just had to survive until then. Chapter 3, The Alpha's Arrival. I barely made it back to my tower room. My legs shook with every step up those 143 stairs. My hands trembled as I pushed open the iron door. My whole body felt like it had been torn apart and badly reassembled. But I was alive. And I had a wolf. The thought kept circling in my mind, impossible and undeniable in equal measure. I have a wolf. I've always had a wolf. They lied to me. No, Marcella lied to me. The realization hit like a physical blow. I sank onto my narrow cot, my head in my hands. My stepmother had done this. Somehow she'd suppressed my wolf, kept me from shifting, kept me locked in this tower, not just physically, but magically. But why? Because you're dangerous, my wolf's voice murmured in my mind. She was quieter now, more controlled, but still there, still present in a way she'd never been before. Because you're moon-touched. and she knows what that means. What does it mean? I asked aloud, too exhausted to care if I sounded insane talking to myself. Power, my wolf said simply. More power than she has. More power than your father has. More power than any normal wolf could dream of. Moon-touched wolves are born under eclipses. We're blessed, or cursed, depending on your perspective, by the moon herself. We're larger than other wolves. Stronger. Our fur is pure silver, and we have gifts that others don't. What kind of gifts? We'll find out together, my wolf promised. When we finally shift. When we're finally whole. I wanted to ask more, but exhaustion was pulling at me like a physical weight. The pain had drained me. The revelation had shattered something fundamental in how I understood my life. I needed to think, to plan, to figure out what to do with this impossible knowledge. But my eyes were already closing. The last thing I saw before sleep took me was the eclipse moon through my window, nearly complete now, casting strange shadows across my floor. Shadows that almost looked like wolves. I woke to the sound of voices below my tower. Not pack voices. Not the familiar sounds of Nightvale wolves returning from their run. These voices were different. Deeper. Colder. Carrying an authority that made even my sleeping wolf stir with interest. I crept to my window, the only window in my prison, barely wide enough for my head to fit through, iron bars making sure I could never escape. Below, in the courtyard, I saw them. Strangers. 50 of them, maybe more. Wolves I'd never seen before, wearing the dark gray and silver colors of... My breath caught. Shadowmere Pack. Our blood enemies for 3 generations. The rival pack whose territory bordered ours, whose alphas had been at war with Nightvale for decades. What were they doing here? And at their front, dismounting from a massive black horse, was him. The Alpha. I'd never seen him before. Our packs avoided each other religiously, but there was no mistaking what he was. Power radiated off him in waves, even from this distance. He was tall, broad-shouldered, with black hair and a presence that made everyone around him seem smaller by comparison. He moved like violence contained in human skin. And as if he could feel my eyes on him, he looked up. Straight at my window. Straight at me. Our eyes met across the distance, and something inside me. Something that had just woken up after 21 years of forced sleep. Recognized him. Mate, my wolf breathed. No, I whispered. That's impossible. The moon chooses, my wolf said, and she chose him for us. The Alpha's eyes widened slightly. He could feel it too. The pull, the bond. The undeniable, unbreakable connection that the moon forged between true mates. Across enemy lines. Between a prisoner and an alpha. Between someone who was supposed to be wolfless and the most powerful wolf in 2 territories. He took a step toward my tower, and I knew, with absolute certainty, that my carefully maintained survival was about to shatter. The alpha had arrived, and nothing would ever be the same. Chapter 4. The Enemy Alpha. His name was Kieran Blackwood, Alpha of Shadowmere Pack, and he was standing in our great hall demanding to see me. I learned this from the raised voices that carried up through the tower stones, my father's angry protests, Marcella's cold negotiations, and beneath it all, a voice like gravel and smoke that made my newly awakened wolf press against my consciousness with interest. He's come for us. She murmured. That's insane, I whispered back, pressed against my door to hear better. He doesn't even know me. He knows enough. The mate bond doesn't lie. He felt it the same way we did. 20 minutes later, the iron door to my tower scraped open. Marcella stood there, her face a mask of controlled rage. "You have a visitor," she said, her voice tight. "Alpha Kieran of Shadowmere Pack has requested to see the girl in the tower. I can't imagine why." Behind her, I could see two figures. My father, looking uncomfortable and confused, and him, Kieran Blackwood. He was even more imposing up close. Taller than my father by several inches, with shoulders that filled the narrow doorway. His eyes were the darkest gray I'd ever seen, almost black, and they were fixed on me with an intensity that stole my breath. He could feel it. The pull. The same impossible, undeniable mate bond that was currently making my wolf howl with recognition in my mind. "Leave us," Kieran said, not taking his eyes off me. "Absolutely not," Marcella said. "This girl is under my care. I won't..." I said leave. The command in his voice was absolute, alpha authority that even Marcella couldn't fully resist. "This is between mates. Pack law protects this conversation." My father's eyes widened. "Mates? That's impossible. This girl doesn't even have a wolf. She can't." "She can," Kieran interrupted, his gaze finally leaving me to pin my father with a look that could have flayed skin. "And she does. You've been lied to, Alpha Cedric, either knowingly or otherwise. How dare you come to my territory and..." "I dare, because the moon herself brought me here tonight," Kieran said, his voice dropping to something dangerous. "Because I felt a pull halfway across the forest during my run. Because I followed a call that led me directly to this tower. Because my wolf is currently telling me that my mate, my true mate, blessed by the moon goddess herself, is locked in this cage like a criminal." He turned back to me, and something in his expression softened. Just slightly. Just enough that I could see the man beneath the alpha. "So, I'll ask again. Leave us, or I'll make you leave. Your choice." Marcella looked like she wanted to argue, wanted to refuse. But alpha authority was alpha authority, and even she couldn't directly defy it without consequences. "5 minutes," she hissed, "and the door stays open." She swept out, my father trailing behind her with one last confused look at me. Kieran waited until their footsteps faded down the stairs. Then he stepped fully into my tower room and closed the door behind him anyway. "That was dangerous," I said, finding my voice. "She'll punish me for this later." "No, she won't," Kieran said flatly. "Because after tonight, you're never going to be in this tower again. You can't just..." "What's your name?" he interrupted, moving closer. Not threatening. Careful. Like I was something wild he didn't want to spook. "Seraphina, Sarah." "Sarah," he repeated, and the way he said it made something warm unfurl in my chest. "I'm Kieran, and I need you to tell me the truth. Do you feel it? The mate bond?" I could lie. Should lie. Admitting it would change everything, complicate everything, potentially destroy everything. But I'd been lied to for 21 years. I was done with lies. "Yes," I whispered. "I feel it." His shoulders dropped with visible relief. "Thank the moon. I thought, when I saw you in the window, I thought I might be going mad. Mate bonds don't usually snap into place from distance, but with you..." He shook his head. "It was instantaneous. Absolute. My wolf nearly tore out of my skin trying to get to you." "I'm wolfless," I said, testing the lie I'd been told my whole life. "Everyone says so. I've never shifted. I don't have..." "You're not wolfless," Kieran said, his voice certain. "I can sense your wolf. She's there. Powerful. More powerful than any wolf I've ever felt. She's just..." He frowned, moving closer, his eyes searching my face. "Suppressed. Something suppressing her. How do you know? Because I'm Alpha, he said simply. I can sense pack bonds, power levels, wolf presence. It's part of what I am. And Sarah? Your wolf feels like moonlight and silver, and something so old and powerful, it makes my alpha instincts want to kneel. I like him, my wolf said approvingly. That's impossible, I said, even as my heart raced. I'm nobody. The defective daughter locked away so I don't embarrass my pack. You're somebody, Kieran said fiercely. You're my mate. And if I'm right about what you are? He stopped himself, shaking his head. I need to get you out of here. Tonight. Before. Footsteps on the stairs. Kieran tensed, moving between me and the door instinctively. The door opened to reveal Marcella, her face composed but her eyes burning with barely controlled fury. Your 5 minutes are up, she said coldly. And Alpha Cedric requests you return to the Great Hall. Your visit has raised questions that need answering. I'm claiming her, Kieran said bluntly. Mate claim. Pack law protects it. She's not of age to be claimed, Marcella countered smoothly. She's only 21, I interrupted, finding courage I didn't know I had. Today's my birthday. I'm of age. Marcella's face went very still. Kieran's hand found mine, his grip warm and solid and real. Then there's no legal barrier. I'm claiming Serafina as my mate under Moonlaw. She'll come with me to Shadowmere territory, and she'll do no such thing, Marcella hissed, her composure cracking. She's wolfless. She'd be useless to you. An embarrassment. You don't want this girl. She's everything, Kieran interrupted, his voice dropping to something dangerous. She's everything. And if you try to stop me from taking her, I'll have the Council of Alphas investigate exactly why you've kept her locked in this tower for 21 years. Why you've convinced everyone, including her, that she's wolfless when I can sense her wolf clear as day. Why you've suppressed what she really is. You don't know what you're talking about, Marcella said, but I heard fear beneath the anger. Then let's find out, Kieran said. Let's take this to the council. Let's have neutral alphas examine her, test her, see if I'm right. Unless, his eyes narrowed, unless you have a reason you don't want that. The silence stretched taut as a bowstring. Finally, Marcella smiled. It was a terrible smile, full of poison and calculation. Fine, she said. Claim her. Take her. But know this, Alpha Kieran. If you're wrong, if she truly is wolfless, she'll be an anchor around your neck. A weakness your enemies will exploit. And Shadowmere Pack will suffer for your misguided compassion. I'm not wrong, Kieran said. We'll see. Marcella turned to me. Gather your things. You have 10 minutes. Then you're his problem, not mine. She swept out. I stood there shaking, my hand still in Kieran's, my whole world turning inside out. I don't have things, I said numbly. Just this dress, this room, this cage. Then we leave now, Kieran said, pulling me toward the door. Wait, I can't just... Yes, you can. He stopped, turning to face me fully. Sarah, listen to me. Something is very, very wrong here. That woman suppressed your wolf somehow. Kept you locked up your whole life. Convinced you that you were nothing. And the fact that she's letting me take you this easily? It means she thinks you're not a threat. That you'll never shift. That you'll prove me wrong and I'll be humiliated. What if she's right? I whispered. She's not. He cupped my face in his hands, his thumbs brushing my cheekbones. I don't know what you are yet, but I know you're not nothing, and I know that moon chose us for each other. So trust me. Please, let me get you out of here. We'll figure out the rest together. Yes, my wolf urged. Yes, yes, yes. Say yes. Okay, I breathed. Okay, let's go. He smiled, the first real smile I'd seen from him, and it transformed his whole face. Then he took my hand and led me out of the tower. For the first time in 21 years, I walked down those 143 steps, knowing I would never climb them again. I was leaving, with my mate, with an enemy alpha who somehow saw what everyone else had missed. I didn't know if I was being rescued or making the biggest mistake of my life, but either way, I was finally, finally free. Chapter 5. The Price of Freedom. The Great Hall had fallen silent when we entered. 50 Shadowmere wolves stood on one side, weapons at the ready but not drawn. 200 Nightvale wolves stood on the other, looking torn between outrage and confusion. And in the center, my father and Marcella faced Kieran with expressions that could have started a war. "This is unprecedented," my father said, his voice tight. "You can't just walk into my territory and claim my daughter." "She's of age," Kieran countered, not releasing my hand. "She's unmated. The bond is legitimate. Pack law, moon law, protects this." "She's wolfless," Vivian interjected from beside Marcella, her voice dripping with disdain. "You're claiming a defective, making Shadowmere Pack a laughingstock." "Watch your mouth," Kieran said, his voice dropping to a growl that made Vivian step back instinctively. "You're speaking about my mate." "Your supposed mate," Marcella corrected smoothly, "who has never shifted. Who will never shift. Who will be nothing but dead weight in your pack." She smiled that terrible smile again. "But if you insist on this folly, we won't stop you. Take her. With our blessing." Something about the way she said it made my skin crawl. Kieran felt it too. His hand tightened on mine. "What's the catch?" he asked bluntly. "No catch," Marcella said. "Only a wager. Take her. Keep her for 1 year. If she shifts in that time, if she proves to have a wolf, then she's yours completely. No questions, no claims from Nightvale." "And if she doesn't shift?" Kieran asked, though I could hear he already knew. "If she doesn't shift," Marcella said, her eyes finding mine, "then she returns here. To us. Where she belongs. And you publicly acknowledge that your mate bond was false. A mistake. An embarrassment." "You want to humiliate him," I said quietly. "You want to make him look weak in front of both packs." "I want to prove reality," Marcella countered. "You're wolfless, Sarah. You always have been. And in 1 year, when you still haven't shifted, when even the great Alpha Kieran can't make a wolf appear where there is none, everyone will know the truth." She stepped closer, lowering her voice so only Kieran and I could hear. "You should have left her in the tower," she whispered. "At least there she was hidden, protected. Now she'll be exposed. And when she fails, when she proves what we've always known, she'll have nowhere to hide. No tower to lock her away in. Just public shame and the knowledge that even her mate couldn't save her." "I'll take that wager," Kieran said before I could respond. "1 year. If she shifts, she's mine forever and Nightvale loses all claim. Agreed?" "Agreed," Marcella said, extending her hand. They shook, sealing my fate. Around us, the packs watched in silence. I could feel their judgment, their pity, their certainty that Kieran had made a terrible mistake. Maybe he had, but when his hand found mine again, when he looked at me with absolute certainty that I was worth this gamble, I let myself believe, just for a moment, that maybe Marcella was wrong. Maybe I could shift. Maybe I wasn't broken. Maybe, just maybe, I was something else entirely. "We leave now," Kieran announced to his pack. and we don't return until the year is up, and we've proven them all wrong. His wolves moved toward the doors, forming a protective column around us. As we walked through the hall, through my father's pack, through the wolves who'd known me my whole life and never once questioned whether I was really what Marcella said I was, I felt something shift inside me. Not my wolf. Not yet. But something deeper. Harder. Resolve. I would shift. I would prove them wrong. And when I did, I would make them all regret the 21 years they'd locked me away. Chapter 6. Shadowmere. Shadowmere territory was nothing like Nightvale, where my home pack's lands were cultivated and controlled, full of neat stone buildings and ordered paths. Shadowmere was wild. The pack settlement itself was built into the forest. Houses nestled among ancient trees, walkways suspended between branches. Everything designed to work with nature rather than dominating it. It was beautiful and terrifying. Because I'd never been outside Nightvale lands, never been farther than the view from my tower window, never ridden a horse before tonight or felt wind that wasn't filtered through iron bars. Everything was too much, too open, too real. "Easy," Kieran said, his hand steady on my back as I swayed slightly in the saddle. "We're almost there, just a bit further." We'd been riding for 3 hours and I was exhausted. My body wasn't built for this. 21 years of captivity had left me weak, underdeveloped, struggling with basic physical tasks. But my wolf was awake now, lending me strength I shouldn't have had, making it possible to keep going when my body wanted to quit. "We're almost home," she murmured. "I can feel it. This territory, it feels right." "How do you know?" I asked silently. "Because our mate is here. And where our mate is, that's home." The simple truth of it made my chest ache. We finally stopped at the largest structure, a house built around a massive oak, its rooms spiraling up through the branches. Kieran dismounted first, then reached up to help me down. My legs nearly buckled when my feet hit the ground. "Whoa," Kieran caught me easily. "I've got you. When's the last time you walked more than a few steps?" "Years," I admitted. "The tower was... small?" His jaw clenched. "Right. Okay, we'll work on that. Building your strength. But for tonight..." He swept me up into his arms like I weighed nothing. "Tonight, you rest." "I can walk," I protested weakly. "You can barely stand," he countered. "Let me help, please." So I did. He carried me through his house. Our house? While curious Shadowmere wolves watched from windows and doorways. I could feel their surprise. Their confusion. Their alpha had brought home an enemy pack member. A girl who couldn't even walk on her own. This was going to be a disaster. Kieran's quarters were at the top of the treehouse, accessed by a spiral staircase that made him have to shift his grip to climb. But he managed, bringing me into a large room with windows on all sides that looked out over the forest. No bars, no locks, just open windows and moonlight and freedom. I started crying before I could stop myself. "Hey!" Kieran set me down gently on a massive bed. "Hey, what's wrong? Are you hurt?" "No windows," I managed between sobs. "In the tower. Just one. With bars. I couldn't see. Couldn't feel wind. I couldn't finish." 21 years of suppressed emotion was pouring out all at once. Kieran didn't speak. He just pulled me against his chest and let me cry, his hand stroking my hair, his presence solid and real and safe. When I finally stopped, when I'd cried myself empty, he pulled back just enough to look at me. "I'm sorry," he said quietly. "I'm sorry for what they did to you, for what she did to you. But Sarah, I swear on my wolf, on my pack, on everything I am, you will never be locked up again. Never. Even if you can't shift, even if the mate bond is somehow wrong, even if everything Marcella said is true. You're free now, and you'll stay free. Why? I whispered. Why do you care? You don't even know me. I know enough, he said. I know you've survived 21 years of captivity, and you're still sane. Still kind. I can see it in your eyes. I know my wolf chose you, and my wolf has never been wrong. And I know that whatever Marcella did to suppress your wolf, it's breaking. I can feel it. You're on the edge of something. And when you finally shift, he smiled, it's going to be spectacular. What if I can't? I asked. What if she's right? What if I really am just broken? Then we'll figure it out together, he said simply. But I don't think you are. In fact, he stood, moving to a bookshelf against the wall. I think I know what you are. And if I'm right, it explains everything. He pulled out an ancient-looking book, its leather cover cracked with age. This belonged to my grandmother, he said, sitting back down beside me. She was a scholar. Collected stories about old wolf bloodlines, legends, prophecies. Things most modern packs have forgotten. He opened the book to a marked page, and I saw an illustration of a wolf unlike any I'd ever seen. Silver, glowing, surrounded by moonlight that seemed to emanate from its very fur. Moon-touched, Kieran said quietly. It's a bloodline that appears once every century, born under a lunar eclipse, blessed or cursed by the moon herself. They're stronger than normal wolves, larger. Their fur is pure silver, and they have gifts that others don't. Like what? I breathed. Varies by individual. Some could command other wolves. Some could heal mortal wounds. Some could see the future. But they all had one thing in common. He looked at me. They shifted late, much later than normal wolves. Their power was too great for young bodies to handle. Most didn't shift until their early 20s. I stared at the illustration, at the silver wolf that looked like something from a dream. When were you born? Kieran asked. I don't know the exact date, just that it was under an eclipse. My mother died giving birth to me, and my father said. I stopped. He said the moon had gone dark the night I was born. That it was an omen. A sign I was cursed. Not cursed, Kieran said. Blessed. Your moon touched, Sarah. And Marcella knew. That's why she suppressed you. Why she kept you locked away. Because if you ever fully came into your power, I'd be stronger than her, I finished. Stronger than anyone. Kieran corrected. The stories say moon-touched wolves could lead entire packs, could unite territories, could change the balance of power across regions. That's insane. Is it? He gestured to the window where the eclipse moon, still visible, still casting that strange silver light, hung in the sky. You felt something tonight. Before I arrived, when the eclipse was complete, what did you feel? Pain, I admitted. Like something was breaking open inside me. And then, I hesitated. A voice. My wolf. For the first time ever, I heard her. She told me we'd been suppressed. Caged. That the eclipse was breaking the spell. Kieran's expression turned grim. So, Marcella used magic. Dark magic, probably. To suppress a moon-touched wolf. He shook his head. She's either incredibly brave or incredibly stupid, because when you finally shift, when your wolf breaks free completely, what happens? Honestly? I don't know. The stories say moon-touched wolves are unpredictable, powerful. Their first shifts can be violent, destructive. Their power has been caged so long that when it finally releases, he met my eyes. We need to be careful. We need to teach you control before you shift fully. Because if you lose control, you could hurt people. Hurt yourself. Fear prickled along my spine. Then maybe Marcella was right to lock me away. If I'm that dangerous? No, Kieran said fiercely. She was wrong. Because caging you didn't solve anything. It just delayed the inevitable. Made it worse. Your wolf has been suppressed for 21 years, building pressure like water behind a dam. When that dam breaks, and it will break, the release will be powerful. But we can prepare. We can teach you. We can make sure that when you shift, it's controlled. Safe. How? My grandmother's notes, he said, flipping through the book. She documented everything she learned about moon-touched wolves. Training methods, meditation techniques, ways to communicate with your wolf before the shift, so when it happens, you're working together instead of fighting for control. He looked up at me. It won't be easy, and it won't be quick, but we have a year, and I'm not letting you face this alone. For the first time since leaving my tower, I felt something like hope. Thank you, I whispered. Don't thank me yet, he said with a slight smile. Wait until you see the training regime. My grandmother was intense. Despite everything, I laughed, and Kieran's expression softened at the sound. Get some rest, he said, standing. You've been through hell tonight. Tomorrow we start your real journey. But tonight, he gestured to the room. Tonight, you just be free. Feel the wind. See the stars. Remember what it's like to not have bars between you and the world. Where will you sleep? I asked. There's another room downstairs. You need space. Privacy. We're mates, but we barely know each other. I'm not going to... He stopped, looking uncomfortable. I'm not going to assume anything. You've been caged your whole life. I won't cage you differently just because we're bonded. Something warm bloomed in my chest. Thank you, I said again. He nodded and left, closing the door quietly behind him. I was alone. In a room with no bars. With windows that opened to sky and forest and freedom. I walked to the nearest window and pushed it open fully, letting the night air wash over me. Cold and clean and real. 21 years. 21 years in that tower. And now? Now we fly, my wolf murmured. Or we will soon. Very soon. I hope you're right, I whispered to the night. The eclipse moon seemed to glow brighter, as if answering. And somewhere deep inside me, something that had been dormant began to wake more fully. My transformation was coming. I just had to survive until it arrived. Chapter 7. Training the Beast. The next 3 months transformed me. Not just physically, though that too. Kieran had me working with his pack's healers and trainers, building strength I'd never had. Learning to run. To fight. To use my body as something more than a cage for my soul. But the real transformation was internal. Every day I worked with my wolf. Learning to communicate. To understand her. To prepare for the moment when she would finally break free. Soon, she kept saying. Very soon. I can feel the spell cracking. Every full moon weakens it more. Kieran's grandmother's notes were invaluable. They detailed meditation techniques that helped me sink deeper into that internal space where my wolf lived. Breathing exercises that calmed us both when the pressure to shift became overwhelming. Visualization methods that let me practice the transformation mentally before attempting it physically. You're doing well, Kieran said one evening after a particularly intense training session. We were sitting by the fire in his, our quarters, my muscles aching in ways they never had in the tower. "I haven't shifted yet," I pointed out, "but you're stronger, more connected to your wolf, more prepared." He studied me across the flames. "The shift will come when you're ready. We can't force it." 9 months left, I said quietly. 9 months until I have to go back, if I can't prove them wrong. "You won't go back," Kieran said fiercely. "Even if you can't shift. I'll claim violation of the wager terms. I'll go to the Council of Alphas. I'll start a war if I have to. But you're not going back to that tower." "You'd start a war for me?" I asked. "I'd burn the world for you," he said simply. "You're my mate." The bond between us had only grown stronger over the months. We hadn't completed the mating. We were both waiting for my shift, waiting for me to be whole before taking that step. But the connection was undeniable, unbreakable. I loved him. I hadn't said it yet, wasn't sure how. But I felt it in every moment we spent together, every time he looked at me like I was something precious instead of something broken. "There's something else," Kieran said, his expression turning serious. "Something I need to tell you before..." A howl cut him off. Urgent. Alarmed. Warning. Kieran was on his feet instantly, his wolf rising behind his eyes. "Stay here," he commanded. "What's happening?" "Border alert. Someone's crossed into our territory." He was already moving toward the door. "Lock this door after me. Don't open it for anyone except me. Understand?" "Kieran, promise me," he demanded. "I promise." He left at a run, shifting mid-stride, his clothes tearing as a massive black wolf took his place. I moved to the window, watching as Shadowmere wolves poured out of their homes, forming defensive lines, heading toward the border. Who would attack? And why? My wolf stirred uneasily. "Something's wrong," she said. "Something's coming. Something." The scent hit me a second later. Familiar. Hated. Nightvale pack. They'd come early. And I had a terrible feeling I knew why. Chapter 8. The Trial. They brought her in chains. Vivian, my half-sister, Marcella's daughter. Bloodied. Beaten. Barely conscious. "What the hell is this?" Kieran demanded as the Nightvale delegation, led by my father, entered the meeting hall with their prisoner. "Justice," my father said grimly. "This girl was caught attempting to cross your borders. She claims she has information. About Sarah." "What information?" I asked, stepping forward despite Kieran's protective instinct to keep me back. Vivian's head lifted, her eyes finding mine. And in them, I saw something I'd never seen before. Fear. Not of me. For me. "Sarah," she rasped, "you have to listen. Mother, Marcella, she's planning something. The wager. It was never about proving you wolfless. It was about..." "Silence," my father commanded. "You've said enough." "What was it about?" I pressed, moving closer. "Vivian, what is she planning?" "She's been gathering dark witches," Vivian said, the words tumbling out in a rush. "Paying them, promising them power. She's going to..." She coughed, blood flecking her lips. "She's going to kill you, before you can shift, before you can prove what you are. She can't risk you coming into your full power." The hall went silent. "Why are you telling me this?" I asked quietly. "You've hated me your whole life." "Because I was wrong," Vivian said, tears streaming down her face. "Because I believed Mother's lies. Believed you were defective, worthless, less than me. But 3 months ago, I found something. Letters. hidden in Mother's chambers. Letters from dark witches detailing the suppression spell. Letters proving that she knew exactly what you were. That she's been terrified of you since the day you were born. She looked at my father. Father, please. You need to hear this. She's been lying to all of us. She killed Sarah's mother because she knew. She knew about the prophecy. About what moon-touched wolves could do. And she's been suppressing Sarah ever since, keeping her weak, keeping her locked away. Enough, my father said, but his voice had lost its command. He looked shaken, uncertain. Is this true? Kieran demanded. Did Marcella kill Sarah's mother? I don't know, my father said quietly. My mate died in childbirth. That's what everyone said. What I believed. But if Vivienne is telling the truth, if Marcella has been... He looked at me for the first time in months. Really looked at me. Sarah, I need to know. Can you shift? Not yet, I admitted. But my wolf is there. I can feel her. She's been suppressed by dark magic, but it's breaking. Every day, I get closer. Then you're in danger, my father said. If Marcella believes you're about to shift, she'll act. She won't wait the full year. She'll... An explosion rocked the building. Then another. Screams. Howls. The sound of battle. They're here, Vivienne gasped. She's already attacking. I tried to warn you. I tried... Kieran was already shifting, already howling commands to his pack. Warriors poured out, heading toward the sounds of combat. Get Sarah to safety, he commanded. Now! But I wasn't running anymore. I'd spent 21 years running, hiding, being moved and locked away and kept out of sight. No more. No, I said. Kieran's wolf form wheeled toward me, his eyes pleading. I'm not hiding, I said. If Marcella wants to kill me, she'll have to face me. And maybe, I looked at my hands, feeling the power building beneath my skin. Maybe it's time my wolf stopped being patient. Yes, my wolf snarled. Yes, let me out. Let me show them what we are. Sarah, you're not ready, Kieran tried to say through the pack bond. You haven't shifted yet. You don't know how... Then I'll learn, I said. And I walked out of the hall toward the sound of battle, toward my stepmother, toward my destiny. Chapter 9. The First Shift. The courtyard was chaos. Shadowmere wolves fighting Nightvale attackers. Marcella's hired dark witches throwing magic like weapons. Fire and shadow and things that screamed as they flew. And in the center, directing it all with cold precision, was Marcella herself. She saw me emerge from the hall and smiled. There she is, she called out, her voice carrying over the din. The little caged bird. Come to see what happens when you defy me. You killed my mother, I said, walking toward her. Wolves parted around me, both sides stopping to watch. I did, Marcella confirmed, not bothering to deny it. She was weak, sentimental. She refused to do what was necessary. What was necessary? I demanded. Killing you, Marcella said simply. The moment you were born under that eclipse, I knew what you were. Moon-touched, prophecy-born, dangerous. Your mother wanted to run, to hide you, to raise you in secret away from the packs. But I convinced Cedric that she died in childbirth. That you'd killed her. And then I made sure you'd never be a threat. The suppression spell. Cost me a fortune, Marcella said. But worth every coin. 21 years of keeping you locked away. Of convincing you that you were nothing. Of watching you believe the lies. She laughed. It was almost beautiful how completely you accepted it. How you never even questioned. I questioned everything, I interrupted. Every day, every hour locked in that tower. I just didn't have the power to fight back. But I do, now. Do you? Marcella's expression turned mocking. Because from where I'm standing, you still look remarkably wolfless. 21 years of suppression doesn't just vanish, little bird. Your wolf is caged so deep, you'll never reach her. Even now. Even with an eclipse breaking my spell, you're still too weak to shift. She's wrong, my wolf snarled. We can do this. Together. Let me out. Please, let me show her what happens when you cage the moon. I'm scared, I admitted silently. I know, my wolf said, her tone gentler. But we're stronger scared. We've survived everything they threw at us. This is just one more thing to survive. And then we make them pay. I closed my eyes, took a breath, and let go. The shift hit me like lightning. Pain. Yes. Excruciating. Bones breaking and reforming, skin tearing as fur erupted, my entire body restructuring itself in seconds. But beneath the pain was power. Pure, radiant, overwhelming power that had been caged for 21 years and was finally breaking free. I heard Marcella's scream, heard gasps from both packs, heard Kieran's wolf howl with triumph and recognition. When the shift completed, when I opened my eyes and saw the world through wolf vision for the first time, I understood. I was huge, easily twice the size of any normal wolf. My fur was pure silver, glowing faintly in the darkness like captured moonlight, and the power radiating from me made every wolf in that courtyard, Alpha and Omega alike, drop to their knees. Moon-touched. I was moon-touched. And I was magnificent. Told you, my wolf said smugly. Now, shall we show them what happens when you suppress the moon? Marcella tried to run. I was faster. One leap closed the distance. My jaws closed around her throat. Not to kill. Not yet. Just to pin. To hold. To make her feel as helpless as she'd made me feel for 21 years. Sarah, no, my father's voice. Don't kill her. You're better than... Better than her? My wolf snarled through the pack bond, a bond that now connected me to every wolf present. She murdered our mother. She caged us. She tried to kill us tonight. And you want mercy? I want justice, I said, finding my voice even in wolf form. Another moon-touched gift, the ability to speak through the pack bond even while shifted. And justice means she faces trial, faces consequences, not a quick death in battle. I released Marcella, letting her crumple to the ground. Around me, both packs watched in awe and fear. The wager is over, I announced, my voice carrying to every wolf. I've shifted. I've proven what I am. Nightvale Pack has no claim on me. I belong to Shadowmere now. I belong to my mate. Kieran's wolf moved to my side, and even in his wolf form, I could sense his pride, his joy, his love. My mate, he sent through our private bond. My beautiful, powerful, absolutely terrifying mate. I knew you could do it. You had more faith than I did, I admitted. Someone had to, he said with wolfish amusement. I turned back to the assembled wolves. Anyone who attacks Shadowmere Pack tonight answers to me, I said. Anyone who follows Marcella's orders chooses death. But anyone who lays down weapons, who accepts that this war is over... I looked at my father. They'll have safe passage home, because I'm not my stepmother. I don't rule through fear. I rule through strength and mercy. One by one, the Nightvale wolves shifted back to human form, laid down weapons, knelt in submission, not to Marcella, to me. The moon-touched wolf. The prophecy made flesh. The girl they'd locked away who'd become their queen. Chapter 10. The Council's Judgment. The Council of Alphas convened 3 days after the battle. 12 Alphas from across the territories, representing every major pack within 500 miles. They gathered in neutral ground, an ancient stone circle that had served as a meeting place for wolf councils for centuries. And for the first time in recorded history, a moon-touched wolf stood at the center, demanding justice. I'd shifted back to human form for the proceedings, though my wolf remained close to the surface, lending me confidence and power I'd never had before. Kieran stood at my right hand, my mate and my anchor. Vivienne stood at my left, her testimony crucial to the case against Marcella. My stepmother knelt in silver chains, the only metal that could suppress a wolf's ability to shift. She looked smaller somehow, less threatening, though her eyes still held that cold calculation that said she hadn't given up yet. This council has been called to judge the crimes of Marcella Nightvale, Alpha Theron of Silverwood Pack announced, his voice carrying across the circle. The charges are murder of Alpha mate Lyanna Nightvale, suppression of a moon-touched wolf through dark magic, attempted murder, and conspiracy to wage war between packs. How does the accused answer? Not guilty, Marcella said, her voice steady. I did what was necessary to protect my pack from a dangerous anomaly. The moon-touched are not blessed. They're cursed. Unstable. Throughout history, they've brought nothing but chaos and destruction. I suppressed the girl to protect everyone, including herself. By locking her in a tower for 21 years, Alpha Theron's voice was cold. By convincing her she was defective? By trying to kill her when she escaped? I did what any reasonable Alpha would do when faced with a threat, Marcella insisted. Look at her now. Already she commands power over every wolf here. Already she's displaced natural hierarchies. This is exactly why moon-touched wolves are dangerous. They disrupt the natural order. The natural order, I said quietly, that allows alphas to murder their rivals and lock children in towers? That natural order? Marcella's eyes flashed. You don't understand what you are, what you're capable of. The last moon-touched wolf went mad with power, tried to conquer all the packs by force. She had to be put down like a rabid animal. I was trying to prevent history from repeating. By becoming exactly what you claim to fear, Kieran said. You murdered. You enslaved. You tried to start a war. All in the name of preventing what you yourself became. The council will hear testimony, Alpha Theron announced. Vivian Nightvale, you requested to speak. Come forward. Vivian stepped into the center circle, her head held high despite the shame I could sense radiating from her. 3 months ago, she'd hated me, mocked me, believed every lie Marcella had told. Now she was risking everything to tell the truth. I was raised believing Sarah was defective, Vivian began, her voice clear. My mother told me she was wolfless, weak, a burden on the pack, and I believed her because it made me feel special, better. If Sarah was nothing, then I was everything. She looked at me, her eyes wet. But 3 months ago, I found letters, hidden in Mother's chambers. Letters from dark witches detailing the suppression spell. Letters that proved Mother knew exactly what Sarah was. That she'd been paying to keep her suppressed since birth. And more, her voice cracked. Letters proving that Mother had poisoned Lyanna Nightvale during childbirth, killed her so that she could take her place as Alpha's mate. All because she knew about the prophecy, about what moon-touched wolves could do. Gasps rippled through the assembled wolves. These are lies, Marcella hissed. My own daughter turned against me by... I have the letters, Vivian interrupted. She pulled a bundle from her pack, handing them to Alpha Theron. Physical proof, written in Mother's own hand, detailing everything. Alpha Theron examined the letters, his expression growing darker with each page. Finally, he looked up. "These are damning," he said. "If authentic, and they appear to be, they prove premeditated murder, conspiracy with dark practitioners, and systematic abuse of a child under your care." He looked at Marcella. "Do you deny writing these letters?" Marcella said nothing. "The council finds Marcella Nightvale guilty of all charges," Alpha Theron announced. "The sentence is death." "No," I said. Every eye turned to me. "No?" Alpha Theron repeated. "The accused murdered your mother, tortured you for 21 years, tried to kill you. You have every right to demand her death." "I do," I agreed. "But I'm choosing differently. Death is too easy, too quick. I want her to live." I looked at Marcella. "I want her to spend the rest of her life serving the packs she tried to manipulate. I want her stripped of rank, of power, of everything she used to define herself. I want her to know what it feels like to be nothing, to be powerless, to be locked away, not in a tower, but in obscurity, forgotten by the world she tried to control." Marcella's face had gone white. "A fate worse than death," Alpha Theron observed. "Some might say crueler." "Some might say justice," I countered. "She took 21 years from me. Let her spend the rest of her life experiencing what that feels like." "The council accepts this judgment," Alpha Theron said. "Marcella Nightvale, you are hereby stripped of all rank and privilege. You will serve the packs in whatever capacity they deem fit. You will never hold authority again, and you will live with the knowledge that the girl you tried to destroy became the queen who showed you mercy." Guards moved forward to take Marcella away. As they passed me, she met my eyes one last time. "You'll regret this," she hissed. "Mercy is weakness. It will destroy you." "No," I said quietly. "Mercy is strength. It's choosing not to become what you are. And I pity you for never understanding the difference." They led her away. And I felt something heavy lift from my shoulders. Something I'd been carrying for 21 years without realizing it. The weight of her lies, her cruelty, her power over me. Gone. I was free. Truly. Completely free. Chapter 11. The Prophecy Fulfilled. The coronation happened under the next full moon. Not just as Luna of Shadowmere Pack, though I was that too, having completed the mate bond with Kieran in a private ceremony that left us both marked and claimed and absolutely certain we'd made the right choice, but as something more. The prophecy spoke of a moon-touched wolf who would unite the packs, Alpha Theron explained as I stood before the council, wearing robes of silver and moonlight that Kieran's pack had made for me. "For centuries we've been divided. Warring. Each pack isolated, suspicious, weakened by constant conflict. But the prophecy said, when the caged moon breaks free, she will show us what strength truly means. Not domination. Unity." He placed a crown on my head. Delicate silver woven with moonstones that caught and reflected light like captured stars. "We name you Luna Queen," he announced, his voice resonating with the weight of history. "This title has not been used in 1,000 years. We revive it today not to crown a tyrant, but to anoint a guide. The Council of Alphas will remain to govern our individual packs, but you, Luna Queen, will be our voice of unity and final arbiter in times of great strife. You will not rule over us with force, but guide us toward balance. Use your gifts to unite where others would divide. Be the bridge between packs, the voice of wisdom, the keeper of peace. I looked out at the assembled wolves, hundreds of them from dozens of packs, all watching me with expressions ranging from awe to fear to hope. I don't want to rule you, I said, my voice carrying through the bond I could now feel connecting me to every wolf present, the moon-touched gift of unity. I want to serve you, to use this power I've been given not to control, but to heal, to protect, to make sure no child ever experiences what I experienced, that no wolf is ever locked away, suppressed, told they're worthless because they're different. I touched the crown on my head. This is a symbol, a reminder. But real power doesn't come from crowns or titles. It comes from choosing every single day to be better than our worst instincts, to protect the vulnerable instead of exploiting them, to build bridges instead of walls. The Luna Queen has spoken, Alpha Theron said. Let all packs hear and witness. The age of isolation is over. The age of unity begins. The howls that answered shook the very earth, and I felt it, through the bond, through the connection my moon-touched blood created, felt hundreds of wolves accepting this new order, choosing cooperation over conflict, unity over division. The prophecy was fulfilled, not through conquest or force, but through choice, and that made it real, lasting, true. Chapter 12. 5 years later, I stood in the garden of our home, the house in the trees where Kieran had first brought me, watching my daughter play, Luna. We'd named her after the moon that had blessed and cursed me in equal measure. She was 4 years old now, with her father's dark hair and my green eyes, and a personality that suggested she'd inherited both our stubbornness. Mama, look, she called, holding up a flower she'd been examining. It's glowing. I moved closer and felt my breath catch. The flower was glowing. Faintly. Silver light emanating from the petals where her small hands touched it. She has it, my wolf murmured. The moon-touched gift. It's manifesting early in her. That's beautiful, sweetheart, I said, kneeling beside her. How did you make it do that? I don't know, Luna said, her face scrunched in concentration. I just touched it and thought about how pretty it was, and then it started glowing. Can all wolves do this? No, I said gently, a wave of understanding washing over me. This wasn't just power. It was empathy. She had poured her innocent love for the flower's beauty into it, and the moon-touched magic within her had answered. Only special ones, ones like you and me, were called moon-touched. Like in your stories? Luna's eyes widened. The silver wolves who can do magic. Exactly like that. Does this mean I'm going to be really big when I shift? Luna asked. As big as you? Probably, I admitted. When you're older, when your body is ready. Will people be scared of me? The question hit me harder than it should have, because I remembered being small and powerless and afraid of being different. But Luna would never have that experience. Some people might be, I said honestly, but that's okay. Because the people who matter, the people who love you, will see that your power is a gift. Something to be celebrated, not feared. And you'll use it to help others. To protect those who can't protect themselves. Just like your mama does. And like daddy does, Luna added. Exactly. Kieran emerged from the house, his hair still mussed from sleep. We'd been up late the night before, dealing with a dispute between two packs that had required Luna Queen intervention. Exhausting, but necessary work. She's glowing flowers now, he asked, moving to stand beside me. Apparently. That's new. She's 4, I said. I couldn't do anything until the suppression spell broke. She's already manifesting gifts. Who knows what she'll be capable of by the time she shifts? Terrifying, Kieran said, but he was smiling. Our daughter is going to be unstoppable. Just like her mother, I agreed. He pulled me close, kissing the top of my head. How are you doing? Really? Good, I said honestly. Tired, overwhelmed sometimes, but good. The Pact Councils are working. Disputes are being resolved through dialogue instead of violence. The integration of Omega Rites is progressing. And most importantly, I looked at Luna. No children are being locked away. No one is being told they're defective or worthless. That alone makes everything worth it. You've changed the world, Kieran said quietly. We've changed it, I corrected. All of us together. A howl sounded in the distance, the signal that another council meeting was about to begin. Always more work. Always more problems to solve. More packs to mediate between. More wolves who needed the Luna Queen's wisdom or power or simple presence. It was exhausting. It was fulfilling. It was everything I'd never known I wanted. Duty calls, I said. It always does, Kieran agreed. But we have a few minutes. Come here. He pulled both Luna and Emmy into his arms, and we stood there in the garden, the three of us together, safe and whole and free. 21 years ago, I'd been locked in a tower, told I was nothing, convinced I would never be anything more than a shameful secret. Now I was everything. Luna Queen, mate, mother, teacher, healer, bridge between worlds. And most importantly, I was free. Free to choose my path. Free to use my power as I saw fit. Free to love and be loved without chains or cages or lies. That was the real gift the moon had given me. Not the power. The freedom to choose what to do with it. Epilogue. The Silver Legacy. 10 years after my coronation, I stood in the same stone circle where I'd been crowned, but this time, I wasn't alone. 7 moon-touched wolves stood beside me. 7 others like me who'd been found, hidden, suppressed, locked away by families afraid of what they were. 7 wolves we'd rescued and trained and helped come into their power safely. The moon-touched weren't extinct. They'd just been hiding, surviving, waiting for someone to show them it was safe to emerge. I'd become that someone. The next generation, Kieran said beside me, pride clear in his voice. You've built something that will last, Sarah. A legacy that will outlive us both. We've built it, I corrected. All of us. Luna, 10 years old now and already showing signs of the powerful wolf she'd become, stood with the other young moon-touched wolves. Learning, growing, preparing for the day they'd take their places as leaders, healers, bridges between packs. They would never know towers or cages or suppression. They would grow up free. And that was everything. Do you ever think about her? Kieran asked quietly. Marcella? Sometimes, I admitted. She's still alive. Still serving in the border territories. Still convinced that what she did was right. Any regrets? About not choosing execution? None, I said firmly. Because she gets to see what she tried to prevent. Gets to watch as moon-touched wolves don't destroy the world, but heal it. Gets to live with the knowledge that mercy was stronger than her cruelty. That's a better punishment than death ever could be. The moon rose full and bright over the stone circle, casting silver light across the assembled wolves. And I felt it, through the bonds that connected me to every pack, every wolf, Every heart that had chosen unity over division felt the world we'd built together. It wasn't perfect. There were still conflicts, still challenges, still wolves who resisted change. But it was better, so much better than it had been. "What are you thinking?" Kieran asked. "That I'm grateful," I said, "for the tower, for the cage, for the 21 years of darkness. Because without them, I never would have appreciated the light, never would have fought so hard to make sure others didn't suffer the same fate, never would have become who I needed to be to change the world." "That's a very Luna thing to say," Kieran observed. "I am Luna," I said with a smile, "and I'm exactly who I was meant to be." That night, I dreamed of my mother, Leanna Nightvale, the alpha mate who'd died giving birth to me, who'd known what I was and had chosen to give me life anyway, even knowing it would cost her own. In the dream, she stood in moonlight, young and beautiful and proud. "You did it," she said. "You became everything I hoped you'd be, everything the prophecy promised." "I miss you," I said. "I wish you could have seen it, seen who I became." "I have seen it," she said, smiling. "The moon remembers everything, Sarah, and she's shown me. Every moment, every triumph, every time you chose mercy over vengeance, every time you used your power to heal instead of harm. I've seen it all, and I'm so, so proud. Thank you," I whispered, "for giving me life, for knowing what I was and loving me anyway." "Always," she said. "I love you. I've always loved you. And I always will." She began to fade, the moonlight consuming her form. "Wait," I called out. "I'm not leaving," she said, her voice echoing. "I'm the moon, remember? I'm always watching, always remembering, always loving you. You're never alone, my silver daughter. Never." She was gone, but the moonlight remained, warm and bright and constant. And I understood. The moon had always been watching, always protecting, waiting for the moment I was strong enough to break free. She hadn't abandoned me in that tower. She'd been preparing me, making me strong enough to survive, teaching me patience and resilience and the value of freedom. Every moment of suffering had purpose. Every year locked away had made me into someone who would fight for others who were caged. The tower hadn't broken me. It had forged me. And now, standing under the same moon that had blessed my birth and guided my life, I finally understood. I wasn't cursed. I was chosen. Chosen to be broken so I could learn to heal. Chosen to be caged so I could learn to free others. Chosen to be nothing so I could become everything. The moon touched Wolf. The Luna Queen. The girl who'd survived. And the woman who'd changed the world. The end author's note. Thank you for walking this journey with Sarah, from the tower to the throne, from darkness to light, from captivity to freedom. Her story is a reminder that being locked away doesn't define your worth. Surviving isn't the same as living, but it's where living begins. Power without compassion is just another form of cage. The people who suppress you are often the ones most afraid of what you'll become. Mercy is stronger than vengeance, and freedom, true freedom, is choosing who you become despite what was done to you. May you find your own silver moon. May you break free of whatever cages you. May you become everything they said you couldn't be. With love and moonlight, Lillian Gerard.